So we started this preaching series last week, and one of the things I've been thinking about this week is that there is a difference between the Word of God and God. And that might sound offensive, but what I'm trying to say is for people like myself and maybe others who spend so much time in the Word of God, it's not too difficult to sort of put God on the shelf where we don't spend time with Him. We don't really talk with Him, get to know Him better, love Him more, understand Him more, and let Him speak to us. We definitely know God through His Word. But one of the telltale traits, I think, of spending so much time in the Word of God is and not really worshiping God is our lack of prayer, where we spend so much time listening to the Word that we don't allow the Word to speak to our heart and we talk to God. Does that make sense? I know it sounds confusing, but sometimes we just flat out don't spend enough time with God Himself. Just listening to Him and talking to Him and absorbing Him. And actually, the Word of God reminds us about all of that too. So we're going to talk some more about that this morning. We are delighted that you are with us. We're grateful that you're here. School is beginning to wind down. I know that there's lots of stuff going on. I know many of you are tired, but we're thrilled that you're with us this morning. We'd like to just take a moment to stand up where we are, to welcome each other, and then we'll get into the lesson today. So let's go ahead and do that. Thank you very much to Julie, who read a lengthy passage of Scripture for us this morning, all of Hebrews chapter 4. And whoever wrote the book of Hebrews did a marvelous job in chapter 4 in basically summing up everything in chapter 4. I think it means this. The word rest is used 11 times in chapter 4. And he's talking about Sabbath, where people who are busy all week long, God is forcing them to stop. It's not an encouragement. He's saying it's a command. On this day, you shall do no work. And I never really appreciated that passage until maybe my midlife years. And in Hebrews chapter 4, he's talking to those of us who are busy-brained, I don't mean wise-brained, but busy-brained, to stop. Stop thinking. And for those of us who love to spend a lot of time in Scripture, he says, stop it. Just for a while. Stop it. I can't reveal to you what I want you to know if you won't let me, because you keep pulling away in your own mind in a direction that you want to go. Maybe you need to just stop and let me speak to you for a while. That's what I hear God saying in Scripture. Because how many times have we been raised in a certain way that we understand Scriptures, and as the years go on, we see Scripture maybe from a different point of view that is more helpful and is more fulfilling and is more Jesus-like than anything before. And the Scripture just continually reveals itself to us. And we're not totally responsible for draining every little ounce of understanding from Scripture. We need to let God help us. Just let Him reveal to us what He wants us to know. And isn't it interesting, at certain occasions and for certain times in our life, when God does speak to us through Scriptures in ways that we had never really considered before, because maybe we'd never been in that life circumstance before. Does that make sense? Where God is just letting us know that He's with us and that the Word of God can guide us, but He is holding our hand as we go through life. There's a beautiful picture of that. There's all these stories of Jesus and children. Let the children come to me. And all of us are God's children. And God is saying, let my children just come to me and rest in me for a while. And the Scriptures can help us understand that rest and that move in the direction of God through the Word of God. And as Jesus went through the world demonstrating God, He is the Word of God. And so often in this wonderful Sermon on the Mount in Matthew and other scriptures, Jesus continually said to scribes, people who spent all of their time in the Torah, the scripture, spent all of their waking hour trying to understand every little ounce of it. Jesus comes along and he says to them, "You have heard it said, but let me tell you, this is what God has always meant." And then he would reveal things that really were amazing and still being revealed today. What I love, and we started in this series last week, is that really, if we want to understand Scripture, it's again to look at Jesus himself. So this morning in our Bible class, we looked at some of these scriptures, so it might be a repeat, but in my mind, it's really helped me to understand that all the Scripture is leading toward Jesus. I had a flashback this past week. I think it was 1972 or 73. How many people were alive in 1972 or 73? Okay. Now, how many people were not alive in 1972 and 73? Okay. How many people aren't sure if they were alive in 1972 or 73? Yeah. Okay. And I won't even go any further than that. That was the... Well, leave that alone. Anyway, I remember this. I don't know where it ever came from, but I was a student at Great Lakes Christian High School. Don't you students go back and tell the principal about this. But anyway, it was just a crazy thing. And to this day, I wonder, where did that come from? And it was that all of us guys carried a little New Testament in our back pocket. And it made us feel better. I was thinking about this. And I remember the feeling of, well, that's a good thing to have the Bible in your back pocket. That's a good thing to do. But I always was hoping and praying that nobody would ever ask me a question because I had no idea where to find anything in the Bible. So I thought, where did this idea come from that you carry around the Bible and it's like somebody asks you a question, you're like a gunslinger, pull it out, and there it is. What's in there, Don? I don't know. I just know that it's supposed to be important, right? So there's just something about the scriptures where there was this thought of it's important, but I really don't know what to do with any of it. And I think even as years go on, the Word of God is just continue revealing the heart of God and the heart of Jesus himself. So if you want to just take a look at a couple of these scriptures with me, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And it's just kind of repeating what we've already talked about. I'll just read these scriptures. I'm reading from the TNIV. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning." So did you catch this? In the beginning was the Word. I guess that's scripture. But no, it's not just scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, scripture, he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of, I love this, all people. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. But probably the most profound scripture, at least in my mind, in understanding all of this, is found in Colossians 1, starting in verse 15, and Don shared with us in our Bible class this morning, and it's beautiful. Notice the all-encompassing words, all things. So we're talking about Scripture. We're talking about Jesus as the living embodiment, not only of God, but of Scripture, and how it contains all things, how he has the supremacy over all things. Here's what it says. "The Son is the image, or the visible, of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his, God's fullness, dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the word said on the cross. Beautiful passage of scripture, through his blood shed on the cross. But then there's another, and it's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says this: in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the Son is the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And then one more. In 1 John chapter 1, the first four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we had looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make our joy complete. It's always that funneling, the focusing of Scripture all the way to Jesus. Now, somebody asked me, I guess it was this past week, why are you calling this preaching series the mystery of Scripture? Well, it comes from a phrase that Paul uses in the book of Ephesians, where he says this profound statement, where he says that this mystery that had been kept hidden throughout all ages has now been revealed. And it's an amazing passage of Scripture. So if you want to notice it with me, this is found in the book of Ephesians, and it's in chapter 3, and it's verses 2 through 6. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. He says this: surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Now, that might not mean much to us, but when those words were written, I think there was a long period of silence and this thought: no way. It was unfathomable up to that time to think that somehow Israel wasn't only the apple of God's eye, that somehow Jew and Gentile that could never spend time together because one group would consider another unclean, maybe that's the way both groups looked at each other, and the world could be so easily divided between the clean and the unclean in some people's minds, and that Jew and Gentile kept a huge difference from one another, not just gender difference, but ethnic difference. And you may recall so many of these stories. One of the great parables that Jesus told is the parable of the Good Samaritan. But many people in Israel would never hear that story because they couldn't believe that story, because a Samaritan would be considered unclean. And the way many people from Israel considered the Samaritans would consider the same toward Israel. There was this huge world separation between those who considered themselves in and those who considered themselves out. Have you ever thought of ourselves in that way? Because it's people coming together in Christ. And so when Jesus would tell these parables, it was amazing to people. We read it and we go, it's not that big a deal. It was a huge deal. And so many other examples where one day the disciples went off to buy some food and they were going to bring it back to Jesus and they were going to have lunch, I suppose, or dinner or whatever it was. And when they come back, they are absolutely amazed that Jesus is sitting talking to a Samaritan woman at the well. In fact, as the disciples had gone, Jesus asks her for a drink of water. I know many of you are Bible students and you know this story. And the reaction from the Samaritan woman is, how can you ask me for a drink? You being a Jew and I'm being a woman and a Samaritan. There was these huge divides in the world at that time. And maybe today it's a different type of division. But no matter what division we find ourselves in, can we center on the one who wants to bring all things and all people together? Christ Jesus. And the focus of Scripture, although there are many detours and many truths and many stories told, the greatest story ever told is the story we find in Scripture of Jesus Christ himself. And the amazing thing about the Bible is it opens up and invites us into the story. And I don't know if we've ever really considered it or not, but you and I are in the Scriptures. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. How many of you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Savior? Just lift your hand if you have. Then you're part of the story. And if you haven't, you're still part of the story because it's the promise of God for all people. It's the promise in the Scriptures of bringing us to the one that the Scriptures are all written for and about. And our life and breath that we have is given to us by the one who holds all things together. And God is not so upset with his world that he wants it destroyed. He wants to renew it. And in that renewal part, he wants us to live our lives in such a way that invites everyone in to be part of the story. And many people would say, I kind of get that, but I'm unworthy. Well, welcome to the group. Welcome to the group. None of us are worthy. But the one who is worthy invites all of us, and he never stops inviting us. In fact, I think even for some of us who spend maybe so much of our time in the Word of God, I can almost hear God whispering in our ear, okay, get out of the book and spend some time with me. Be in the book, be in the Word, but spend time with me. It's good to know things. It's good to know Jesus. Spend time with me. And as we go through this preaching series, we're going to find this invitation of Jesus always to people who love Christ and to people who don't yet know him, this pulling in, bringing us into the story. Some of you have read the great Chronicles of Narnia, and you know the story of Peter and Lucy where they open up the wardrobe and they walk in to a brand new land. And that's what the Scripture is doing for us. It's opening up and saying, walk with me for a while. And then when we go through it, we find out even more of Jesus himself. Last point that I want to make is the Scriptures just continually reveal things that seem impossible. And yet we know they're not. This is maybe a little bit different passage of scripture, but if you wanted to go look in your Bible with me, and if you've never noticed this before, and if you don't mind even marking in your own Bible if you bought your Bible, this is worth marking. This is worth underlining. It's found in Isaiah, and it's in chapter 19. And over the years, we've touched on this passage of scripture, but to me, it's just this concept that even before, maybe 800 years before Jesus was born on the earth, God was whispering into the ear of one of his prophets, Isaiah, and said, here's what's going to happen someday on the earth. And when Isaiah wrote it, he must have thought, you've got to be kidding. This is just impossible. There's just no way this can ever take place. Because you remember the story of how God's people were utterly enslaved by the Egyptians for some 400 years, almost 500 years, and how other nations brutalized Israel, Assyria being another one, and all these nations were at war, but Israel was so small they really couldn't defend themselves against these huge, powerful nations, and there were all these enemies taking place. And here is this beautiful, magnificent passage of scripture where people would go, I just can't believe that would ever happen. Here it goes. Found in verse 23, Isaiah chapter 19, in verse 23. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. Now just stop for a minute. Remember, the Egyptians brutalized Israel. Remember, the Assyrians brutalized Israel. And on the side story, Egypt and Assyria didn't care for each other. And now we have this. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Syrians will go to Egypt, and the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and the Assyrians will worship together. In that day, Israel will be the third, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing on the earth, and the Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance. Can you imagine if you were an Israelite in captivity, in Egypt, where you were brutalized day in and day out, and God comes along and says, someday you're going to worship as brothers and sisters together, all be one together. It was unthinkable. And I believe with all my heart, as we go through these scriptures, we're going to see the unbelievable, as God's saying, it is very believable, what God is intending to do, not just in our hearts and the invitation to come to know him even better, but that he's got the whole world in his hands. And all together, he wants to bless this earth. So may as we go through this journey together, let's journey together. And let's spend time in the book. And then after spending time in the book, when you have chance this week, spend time with God alone and let him speak to each of our hearts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for continually revealing to us more of yourself, that you never stop loving, that you never stop forgiving, that you're constantly demonstrating your work in each of our lives and together as your loved ones and the world itself. And that what you have done is more than can be imagined. That what you are doing is powerful. That what you will be doing is shattering and blessing and loving and tenderly calling each one of us and your whole world to yourself. Please use us to help others see you and to know you better every day as we possibly can. We thank you for the blessing of Jesus, who is the Word, and it's through him we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ weekly sermons are available on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you download podcasts. Just search for Beamsville. We meet at 10:30 Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Find us on Facebook by searching Beamsville Church of Christ or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.